Good afternoon, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying your lunch. Thanks for coming today. My name is Tara Joseph. I'm with the Board of Governors here at the Foreign Correspondents Club and a journalist with Reuters. Before we get started, just a couple of housekeeping notes. If you wouldn't mind turning your telephones or mobile phones to silent or vibrate so that we can film this session, that would be fantastic. And also just to let you know some of the upcoming events we have at the club. In fact, one of our upcoming events is also along the lines of photography. That's happening on the 8th of October. It's a dinner screening of Ordinary Miracles and the Photo Leagues of New York. A documentary of photos that were taken in the 1930s in the United States. We have an event on this evening as well, which is called Tug of War. It's about social media versus traditional media. We're holding that in conjunction with Social Media Week here in Hong Kong. But let's get on really to the event of the day. And Masoud Hosseini, who was based in Afghanistan and here visiting in Hong Kong, he's had an incredible year. I can't imagine having gone from horror to 4 major international prizes in the space of a year and a tour around the world to celebrate his fantastic journalism. I don't think I really need to say much more. He's going to show us some of his photos and we'll take question and answers, leave plenty of time for that. He will show us a lot about the day that he took the photo that won the Pulitzer Prize that I think everyone in this room is very, very familiar with. So without much further, Masoud, please.
Thank you very much. I just want to start talking and say something that I want to say through my pictures, especially from the day, the most horrible day that I experienced in my life. And I'm gonna just start with this, just you will see that how that day start for me. This was the explosion and the moment that changed everything to many people and to me. 70 civilian, just civilian, not politician, not army, nothing. Just civilian, and mostly women and children died, and more than 250 people were injured, which most of them, not most of them, some of them died even in the hospital. Because it was all the, injuries and all the wounds from the backside of the head of everybody. I will explain you that why. Well, the day was 6th of December 2011, and I was covering the Ashura ceremony. It's a religious ceremony for Shia, Muslim Shia, which they commemorate the death of the Muhammad Prophet's grandchild. And for sure, Shias kind of go to streets and perform like a performance to show that how they are sad about that day. And well, that is their religion and their belief that they beat themselves by the chain and bleed themselves in the street. And they just show that we are really kind of sad about that. So I was covering that day as normal, like 10 years before that I did. So it was completely a ceremony that it was normal to cover for me. I would never expect any violence or anything during this ceremony. Is it religious? Even during the Taliban, who had power in Afghanistan, nothing happened, against this ceremony. So, well, nobody expect anything on the day. People were doing, their ceremony really peacefully. Well, they even, because I covered that ceremony for 10 years, most of them knew me even. And it was like, sometimes it was like smiling faces, you know? And they will respect me in their between themselves. That's why that I was really go close to them, right? Without any problem. And for sure, foreigner photographers are not really welcome to this ceremony because it's a religious. And for me, it was really easy. They know me. They knew me from before, and they were really comfortable with me. And even sometimes they were kind of asking me to go more closer, and they were sometimes even thanked me. So that was the moment that I had in this ceremony. And this is the a picture which, you know, part of this story is about three boys who were beheaded like 1,300 years ago in the time of that day. And mostly boys just changed their clothes as the Arabic and Islamic clothes, like green or white. And I shoot this picture, and then I walked again through the crowd, and I passed another green color dress, but this time it was a girl. And it was first time for me that so a girl just use this, Arabic green clothes to perform on something that it is about this day. That it was not like the time that I stayed there and taking picture. I had to go ahead a bit and take video from the chaining. That chaining just takes maybe 2 minutes for every group who come to this place. So I had to go ahead and start taking video, and you saw the video. After this, when I just walked past the green girl, I just start video, and then explosion happened. Myself, I just was kind of thrown on the ground, and it was so difficult to understand that what happened on that time. A big power just beat me from the backside, and I just was fell down on the ground, and I had to kind of focus back to the whatever happened. I sat on the ground while I just saw my left hand was bleeding, but no pain in the left hand, but I had a lot of pain in my right side. You know, when you're close to the explosion, and if you're lucky that a lot of shrapnel doesn't kill you, the wave of the explosion will shake your bones from inside the body. And it's a really, really big pain. So I had to stand up anyway. I stood up, but it was really a kind of bad situation, and I was like, couldn't keep my balance on my 2 feet. So if you just see here, it's like the camera is like shaking, and myself, I'm shaking. But well, I was there anyway, so and I was covering this ceremony, and whatever was happening, I had to cover it. And I had to decide in this time, in this moment. People were running away from the smoke. You can see it there. And nobody knew that what happened. Even myself, in this time, I never expect any bomb. I said, maybe there is like some balloon, gas balloon or something. And I had to go and find out. And I just start running to the, smoke, exactly opposite way of the people. And I found myself in the smoke. And when the smoke kind of was gone, well, I just saw myself in the center of a big, a circle of the, I mean, a big circle of the dead bodies. The bodies were really, really destroyed. I could see the heads off on the ground. I could see the, like, a lot of part of the bodies out in the ground. And even brain, we could see, was like in the ground. And I just face myself from those moments that I told you in 1 minute to this kind of picture. For sure, I was in shock. I really didn't know what to do. I found out that it was an explosion, for sure. But I really was not, I mean, in the mood to, I mean, do anything or kind of go on with it. And I had to decide here, should I run or should I stay to cover it? Normally when explosion happens in Afghanistan, in the crowd, for sure the second one also will be there. Because it's like, when explosion happens, the security forces will arrive, and the journalists will arrive. And to make that explosion really big in the news, they will also manage for the second one. Or people start after that, because it's really emotional, I mean, time for people. People maybe also start shooting to the police or anybody who they think that is responsible for it. Well, I knew this, but well, I was there, so, and I felt responsible to record that time to show to anybody, and I decided to stay. I went back to the place and went closer again to all those dead bodies. It was a mess. If you just see, everybody's running away. And because of the second explosion, which people normally know about it, right? You just see here, they got their position for any possible kind of attack or any possible clash might happen. The people who cannot run away or afraid to run away, maybe being in front of the bullets, they had to hide themselves there. But everybody was in shock. Nobody knew that what happened. I went closer again to the dead bodies and I start taking picture, right? And every part of the body was under my feet. A lot of places I was walking on the blood, but I was taking picture. I was not in really good situation myself too. My body was shaking a lot. I was crying after the shock. And I couldn't even keep my balance, but I was taking picture. For sure, the camera and everything was set before, because I was already covering this light and these pictures. And I just was going and taking picture, but I never even think about any composition or whatever that normally a photographer kind of see from the frame. I was just taking picture, exactly the same thing that I saw it with my eyes. That's all, simple. Whatever, 100% the truth that I was kind of looking through my camera. In my right side, you know, this is which I'm taking this picture. I'm just in the center, right? And then I went and see the backside of myself in the right, and my eyes was focused on the color that I saw before. It was automatically will just went my eyes to the color, and I just found out that that is the girl that I saw like few minutes before this explosion. And I had planned to go and ask the mother and take picture. And now I just saw her like this, in the blood. And she was kind of looking for something. And she was shocked for sure, like everybody else. You see that most of the people in this frame are children and women. The suicide attacker walked through this gate, which is a mosque. And this mosque attached to another shrine. And that shrine was like a big shrine by the like iron metal, metal in the ceiling, right? And it was 2,000 people there. And the suicide attacker wanted to go inside there and explode himself inside. That if that would happen, it would be the biggest, I mean, like, event in the world. Well, Afghanistan doesn't have that much means medical staff to come and, survive people from that kind of explosion, right? And I'm sure that it would be the biggest event and explosion in Afghanistan all in history. But the people around the mosque, the one that you just see behind the gate, they were keeping the mosque closed because it was attached to the big place. And they find out that the suicide attacker, the accent that he's talking is not from Afghanistan. And they found out that he's from Pakistan. And he had the same clothes with like them, with the ID and everything like them. And they said, no, no, you're not from us. He walked from here exactly to here. And then sat on the ground and exploded his explosive. He put a lot of bull rings, metal, nails in his jacket to make the casualties as high as he could. So because he was sitting on the ground and then explode, all the shrapnel and everything was just coming from the ground to above, right, to the up. And all people had like injuries from the head side, from the back side of their body. Well, when I just saw the color again, so I've kind of felt that I have to, go closer to take this picture. I have to just see more about this girl. And I was trying to go closer. You see that everywhere that I was putting my feet was body or part of the body or blood. But I have to manage this. Just imagine it's a like situation that you feel the death like completely clear. The bodies were still in, burning. Smokes was coming up from their body. And the smelling was horrible. And also for sure, you just smell the blood and everything on that situation. All of this was like a pressure for me. All of this like was, a reason that I feel that the death is really close to me. Whatever happens next, it's really close to me. I went a bit more closer to the green girl, and still I'm taking picture. She was shouting. She was in really, really fear. She really was in shock and didn't know what to do. I'm sure that she was asking help, and she was pointing a boy in front of her feet, which you can see he's in red. And he was his brother. And she was asked everybody's help to help the brother. I couldn't hear really well that time because the sound of explosion for sure made some problems for my ear. But after that, I saw the videos also. I was just understood that which kind of voices was around me. Here, she's just pointing everybody, you know. Please, you, can you help me? It's something like that. And everybody who were in that situation, everybody was in shock. Nobody could do anything. If you just see the little girl in red, she had a lot of shrapnel in the stomach, but she could still stood up in her feet. So this woman was pregnant. And you should see that she was completely wounded. And some of the women, the other side, after which they were really close to the bomb, they were completely naked after the explosion, because the wave of explosion kind of takes all the clothes off. You see here, they're all children. They're not more than 14 or 15 years old. And all this place, all are children and women. And I'm going close to this moment to take the picture. And here was the moment that I found that is much more powerful. I took this picture, and after explosion, which I will explain, I have to find out more about these people. Well, here, Tarana, the green girl, is shouting and asking help. Her sister, the older sister, sitting on the ground, and she was in shock, didn't know what to do. And this small girl in blue, she was her little sister, like 6 years old, and she was for sure really short like this. And the shrapnels, nothing went to her body, but because she was too much close to the bomb, her stomach was exploded and everything was out. So everybody thought on that time that she's dead. And Tarana was just shouting to help the brother. Well, still this place and this moment still was going on. You see those, people in black were kind of responsible for that mosque, still were standing there, that nobody else go in again. No attacker, no suicide attacker or whatever. And some of them like came down after a while and then start helping people. Just the one that you see in this side, she came to help, but you know, the injuries was too much. Nobody could, move anybody. But most of the wounds was from the, head. So if just, carry or move somebody like in that injuries, wounds, so you may be, cause of the death of that person. And for sure the medical staff and doctors, ambulance were coming really late. This place is in the center of Kabul and is so crowded around. Well, police, normally in most of the explosion, police and their vehicle trying to carry the bodies, the wounded bodies, to the hospital. For sure they don't know how, and they put all of them like this. And when I just took this picture, this is a traffic police. When I just take picture from this moment, And I put my camera down to see this man. You can see the hand there, just doing like this. Moving his hand, because his face was like closed and he couldn't breathe. But he was alive. I just said to some of the people, "That is alive," but nobody was listening, and the vehicle just left the place. And I put this picture to show that how much I was not in balance and I couldn't even keep myself in my 2 feet. Like camera was all the time going like this. In this moment, a lot of other young and excited people arrived to help. And for sure they start attacking to the journalists. The reason was, first of all, they were so much emotional. And second, we were standing near body of the woman, which some of them were naked after the explosion. And they were so angry. They beat the others more than me, because I already explained them that I'm injured, I was here. And they kicked me out from the place. And I just came from the other side again to this part and taking more picture when they were carrying the bodies. And after a while, I completely felt a lot of pain in my two hands, in my two finger, and I couldn't move it. Normally we carry the camera, right, with two hands, and these hands was, I couldn't even move these two finger. It scared me more. I thought that maybe I lose my fingers. So I had to kind of leave this place. And I had to also stop the bleeding. So I took something from the ground. I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. I just took something from the ground, some fabric, and put it in my hand to stop bleeding and left this place to the office. I sent my pictures, the video, and then left home. I really wanted to be with my family, you know, after this much big event. The reason that I really need some people around myself from the family was from the moment that the explosion happened, I stayed on that place. Just my body just went to office. My soul was there. I was walking all the time there, and it made me crazy, you know, it made me really angry, you know, like emotional, and I had to go to home. But even when I went to home and my mother, my brothers, my sisters were around me, still I was there. I couldn't go out of that place. Everything was coming to my mind. I was walking between the bodies again. Sometimes I was just thinking, think that I'm like lying up in the ground like them. And it was not anything under my control. My heart was going really fast. The temperature of my body was high like a fever. And I was like always just breathing really fast. I asked my brother, he just gave me some pills, but it didn't work. I was like that. I couldn't sit somewhere. I was in my home, but I was just walking around. I couldn't stay even in some places. Well, in the 8 p.m., something like after 8 p.m., somebody called from the office, and they informed me that this picture that I took was all around the world. And the big papers published this picture in their front page. And all other people in the world, as I really want, they just knew that what happened in that time, exactly like in the really short time after that explosion. That made me a bit calm, because I did my job, and I felt that, okay, the responsibility that I had, I think I'm a bit successful with it. But anyway, on that night, I couldn't sleep. The second night also I couldn't sleep. And it was so exhausted, you know, I was so tired after all of these situations. But as the picture and the story was really big in the world, and everybody wanted to know that what happened after that to the green girl. And it was my curiosity too, to know that, okay, what happened to that family? I tried to find them. I found them, and in the second day after the explosion, I went to meet the father. I respect that he will kind of attack to me, he will beat me, because I took that the family of his family, his daughters, his woman, you know, on that time, and that picture was around the world. But I really wanted to try to convince him that we need this, we need to, I mean, tell this story to the world. And when I knocked the door, he opened the door, and I was surprised when he said, "Masoud, thank you very much. I know the picture, I know you. And thank you very much that you shared our pain to all people around the world. We feel that we're not alone anymore." Well, I went inside, I couldn't say anything more, you know. I went inside the home. Tarana was in some corner of the room. She couldn't move, she couldn't talk, you know. It just was just listening to everybody else. And I asked them, I told them that this is happening. This picture is around the world, and we have to like develop this story more. And the father said, I will be with you, but not today. We're not ready. We left them, and the next day we went there. We shoot some video and pictures. And the one of the main painful moment happened on that day, the third day, when I print the picture in black and white to find out who was who in the picture, right? And because they are living in one compound all together, cousins, uncles, aunts, everybody, so most of them came to that room to see me, you know, who took that picture and who's this, I mean, person. And like it was 25 people in the room. And it was difficult to show that picture, to find out that information. And I really wanted to do that. Well, I just decided to show the picture to an elder in that room to ask him. He was not on the scene, but for sure he knew everybody because he's the head of the home. And when I showed that picture to that man, when he just saw that picture, he just started crying really loudly and really emotional. And all those people in the room start crying, especially the girl you just see in the red, she was kind of shouting on that room. She was crying really badly. And I cried myself too, because now I was the reason for that cry. My photo was reason the cry for them. And I had to just beg them to be calm again.
Masoud, very difficult to cut you off in the middle of this story, but we're running very short on time, and I have a feeling there are some questions from the audience. So thank you very much for that. If we can just take a few questions now, and you'll be here, I hope, for a while after the presentation for some more discussion. Questions from the floor, please raise your hand and we'll try to take as many as we can.
Just a quick question. At this point, looking back at the event or looking at the broader framework that caused this event to happen, who are you angry with?
Well, you know, this is a really kind of long story that I was angry with who, right? The people or that group who put this bomb in this ceremony, they are one of the wild group in this Islamic world. They interpreted Islam and Quran in a really wrong way. And I was angry about that. Because on that time that I said that I was really angry, I heard that my office just had the reaction from the Taliban and Lashkar-e-Jahangvi. Taliban, in the first time, they accept the credit. But when they found out there was no any official or anybody there, and it was all civilian, they said, no, we were not. And then Lashkar-e-Jahangvi, exactly 1 minute after the explosion, they put in their website and respect and accept the credit for that. There is no religion, actually, in the world that let or give permission to anybody to kill women and children. Because at least in Afghanistan, these two groups are not in any political or any military kind of action or activity. But they did, they killed them. And for sure, it was not just about the, explosion that I covered in my mind. I was all the way towards thinking that why that this happened and why they killed it. They just accept the credit, but they never said why. And I was angry about that. And anyway, this is the third day which I went there, just to short, just have two more photos. And I was standing here, the other part, I just took my camera through them, because this was really a moment that I should take picture, but at the same time I was listening to these children. They were 15, like this. And from the 15 children, this much children was kind of alive in that compound. And this girl was talking to Tarana and asking that, did you see my brother? How he died? How was he wounded? And then the other one, did you see my mother? And they were asking really, difficult questions, and that conversation was really heavy for me to hear. Well, her mother also was wounded, and this is the third day. She had two shrapnel in in 2 feet, actually, and one in the stomach, but not really major kind of shrapnel on the body. Any question?
We have time for a couple of more questions. Anyone? I have a question, Masood. After experiencing this and taking a photograph of a lifetime, really, do you want to go back and tell more of the same story, or are you interested in taking your photography in a totally different place, in a totally different way?
My question is, yes, I will go back. I will cover this all the time. I grew up in war all the time, right? And the war just ruined my life and ruined the life of a lot of people. And now I have the ability to show the face of the war. I trust myself that I can do it. And I will just go on with this. Some people ask me that with these kind of talks about the day and showing these kind of pictures, you take the side because you're Shia yourself from that religion. Whatever I show, it was something that happened, right? I took the side of the humanity, and there is no other side that I just choose anything. I just talk for them. Because they died, they couldn't talk to you. They couldn't talk to the world. They couldn't say the story that why they died. And I do it for them. So there is no side that I take. This is something that anybody, any photographer or any journalists who were there and feel that situation should do it. Doesn't matter from which religion or which nationality. And also, if this happened to anywhere else in the world, and I was there, and doesn't matter which religion or which nationality, I would do the same and I would feel the same as I know myself.
I think before we wind up, in your digital deck, there is a happy photo, and it's the day that you received the Pulitzer Prize. Maybe you could show that to us before we finish. You have a picture of you receiving the Pulitzer, is that right?
I have it, but it's not here, actually. I didn't put it in this computer.
All right, we'll take a look at it, and we'll take one more question.
Sorry.
At any time, do you feel like an outsider?
At any time, do you feel like an outsider in your own country?
Anytime what?
Do you feel like an outsider in your own country?
Like I am an outsider of the country? Well, I grew up in Iran. Different culture, different history, different society. And at the same time, because I was Afghan refugee, right? So I knew about my culture and my country and my history through my family, right? But because I just study and grew up with the Iranian and go in their school as a normal, like Iranian, so I was away from the feeling from the people from inside Afghanistan, for sure. And when I went back in 2002 to Afghanistan, I didn't respect a lot of things in the country that I just went. I didn't like a lot of things in my born country, right? But because I already knew something from the country, right? I came as an outsider, and I became insider. So I had possibility to see this society from insider and from inside. I hope that was your answer. Huh?
Okay. I think we'll leave it there. But before we go, Masood, I'd like to present a gift to you from the FCC. And again, congratulations, and thanks for coming today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.